so much wonderful to share with you this week at the Loftus Party Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. I am incredibly upbeat. I am incredibly optimistic. There, in my opinion, there's a lot of good things at work. There's a lot of good things happening. It might take you a while to get there, but we will get you there. We got on the other end of the line, as always, we're joined by the surly, the irascible. Irascible? Did I just make up a word? Irascible? Oh, I don't even know what I'm saying. We got the Liberty Gypsy. We got, and I don't know what camp you're in. I don't know if the riots have forced you to move Gypsy camp, are you okay?
Yeah, we did end up having a protest here. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. Basically, 10 white women went and got a permit and stood on the courthouse lawn for an hour.
That's great. Hopefully they were carrying signs.
They were.
Good for them. Good for them getting on it.
I hope they enjoyed their atonement for some kind of collective sin that they never committed. So, whatever. Yeah.
So
feel better.
Right. There you go. That's seriously. I watch people. I watch protesters like doing yoga, you know, a big group of protesters. I think it was in Southern California and they're doing yoga and you're like, okay, there you go. Good for you. That's awesome. I hope you feel better.
Hope you're calm now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of moronic stuff going on. There's no
incredible amount.
Yeah, there's no lack of that. There's no lack of that. No, go ahead.
Really don't like the religious overtones to the whole thing.
What do you mean? The kissing of the feet thing? That whole thing?
The kissing of the feet, the genuflecting, the repeat after me. Now we've got repeat after me so you can atone. Now we've got excommunication.
Oh my gosh.
Encouraging people to like not talk to their family unless they donate to the cause.
Yeah.
Like y'all just need Jesus.
This is what puts me in a good mood about it. Like in a weird way. The crazier I see things getting, and like the whole, I believe the kiss my feet thing started as a joke, and has just gotten out of hand. And I think a lot of people are gonna when they get some distance from it, it's a little too early. I'm so kind
to realize how foolish they look.
Yes. Like I saw a video of some dude, and. Some girl's coming out of her apartment, like in Manhattan, and this dude is like giving her hand signals, and he's like, hey, you got to make up for this, and it's like he was talking to a dog, and she gets down on her knees in front of him. I couldn't, like, you're going to be embarrassed about that later, but I think he was doing it as, like, he's, like, trolling, just to see how far he can go, and like, the, I don't know tonally if this is the best way to start, because it's not really where I want to go. But like, I guess some women are shaving their heads at some point.
Emma Watson fell for a 4chan prank.
Yes.
That was totally engineered to get dumb, stupid people to do something stupid to virtue signal their virtuiness. So I guess look like a skinhead to support Black Lives Matter is about peak 2020.
And it's just like part of me. Listen, I'm conflicted about it because part of me just rejoices in the silliness of it all and just the virtue signaling of it all and all that good stuff. And then the people are going to be embarrassed. Here's the good news. This is my spin on it. It's not even a spin. It's just how I choose to embrace our new reality. Here's my metaphor. We have had, as America, we've had a pimple coming up. We've had a pimple, you know, and the people on the right are like, hey, let's just ignore this thing and it'll go away. People are inherently good. things are getting better. Police brutality is going away. We're making little incremental changes, and things were absolutely going. They were getting better. The statistics back that up. It's been getting better and better and better each and every year. But the left and the media and the liberals wouldn't leave the pimple alone. They wouldn't leave the pimple alone. So it's popping. It's popping. And conversations that that should have been taking place years and years ago are now going to take place. Like they don't want to talk about Chicago. They don't want to talk about what is really going on in the black community. What is up with the crime? Why is this happening? And now questions like that are finally going to get asked. We're finally going to have real conversations about this. And the media, the old school media, is just slipping and slipping and slipping. And thank you very much. And it is hard for, I think, a fair-minded person to say that there's any level of real journalism left, that there's any level of, oh, I'm just going to objectively cover this story. They've got skin in the game. Go ahead.
Think about how broken you have to be to go on television and talk to a couple million Americans and say, yeah, burning shit down's okay.
I keep coming back to this. Like I wrote a thing about this at the loftistparty.com last week. We have to have one reality because there is only one reality. You can insist there's a second one. You can swear up and down there is a second reality. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. And reality will eventually rear its ugly head. And there's going to be a lot, and none of this is going to be easy. However, it is going to be simple. It's going to be hard. I remember when, I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's wonderful. There's going to be collateral damage, and we've already seen that, but we will get our feet back on the ground because you've got guys like that Sean King kid flipping out now. How can you look at this reality and deny the fact these are cities run by Democrats? These are very liberal policies. They have been in charge from top to bottom. Oh, the head of the police force is a person of color, and the mayor is a liberal, and the governor is a liberal, and we're going to do this and do that. It's like, and you look at Joe Biden. I was watching the Greg Gutfeld show last night, and Kat Timpf, I super adore her. Sometimes I just enjoy her. But she was like, it was hilarious, the point she was making, that you can trace all of this back to the policies of Joe Biden. You can, like, his two, like, signature pieces, like, ooh, the things that he was really behind, bills that he co-authored. He's like, you know what? We are going to change the way we're going to have mandatory sentencing for these drug things. So if you've got cocaine, if you're rich and have cocaine, you're going to get off kind of easy. But if you've got crack, you are going down. And then, so he flooded. I don't mean to laugh. If you're a person of color, it's the irony of it. It's the deliciousness of the whole moment. So Biden's legislation put a bunch of people in jail, people of color in jail.
So did his top VP contender too.
Yes. And Trump is the guy who's like, you know what? Let's reexamine these policies and get some of these people out for these crazy sentencing guidelines that were put in by Joe Biden. How can you avoid that? You can't avoid that. That's going to come up. That's going to be part of the conversation. How can you avoid the awesome stuff that Trump has done with the opportunity zones and the low unemployment. And so while this is ugly, some people are going to come face to face with some awesome truths, some awesome truths. So that part has me delighted. And I want to spend some time just being a little self-indulgent, talking about the media spin on this and how just insane. Listen, if this was a book, it would be hilarious. If this was like The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and it was like an alternate reality, it would be hilarious. Unfortunately, it is real. Unfortunately, it is real. However, for the sake of this show and getting some laughs and talking about it, I've kind of mentally switched over to I'm watching a movie now. I'm watching a movie. I'm reading a book. So I'm kind of divorced from the reality a little bit. Do you know what the final body count of this thing is? I say final. There might be more tonight. There might be more tonight. Do you know what it's up to for the protests?
I saw numbers as high as 15.
I got Forbes magazine saying 12. 12. That's just mind. I can't even wrap my brain around it. And maybe it is 15. I don't know. I don't know how Forbes is counting. I know there was five people. You had that poor policeman. Now suddenly it's going to get unfunny real quick because it's just that poor retired cop defending the pawn shop. Just horrible. But for the sake of this, We'll say 12, maybe as high as 15. I think if you throw in heart attacks and Lord knows what else. So what are you doing, protesters? Like, what are you doing? And that's one of the questions that needs to be asked. And what are you protesting when you look at the numbers? And I'm sure you guys have. I know we were talking about this on the show last week. Nine people killed by now. Every single one of those is wrong. Absolutely, I believe it. And then how many cops were killed by this? And then you follow the numbers, and it's of all the problems that you want to go after, this seems like probably not the most important one.
It just doesn't seem like a proportional response to me at all.
No, I think that's
I've been mulling the concept of proportional response.
Mm-hmm.
You need a little more of it. Like, because, you know, if George Floyd was passing a counterfeit $20 bill, that's not even local PD's job to enforce or investigate. That's the Secret Service.
Right.
The Secret Service does Treasury crimes. So what were these guys even doing?
Well,
should have gotten an appearance ticket, and they should have referred the case out.
Well, I was watching that Candace Owens video, as I think all of America has by now.
57 million.
I'm saving that for the next block. I'm saving that for the next block. So there's so much great stuff there. But I will say this about the part of the Candace Owens video is that not only was it the $20 bill, but like I guess George Floyd was on drugs. He was acting weird. But let's put that aside for a second. And I keep coming back to this, the little writer, I like the detective novels. I like the Sherlock Holmes. That what's the name of the cop, the knee on the neck cop?
Galvin.
What, that guy, they worked at the same club. They worked at the same club for a good long time. Now you can say, oh yeah, Dalvin or Chauvin or whoever, he was in the front of the club and George Floyd was in the back of the club. But seriously, there's an interaction there. You know who that is. That's the weirdness to me. I wonder if that's why the AG, that guy, the Antifa dude, You can't make it up. You can't make it up. Who's the AG in Minnesota?
Keith Ellison.
Yeah, Keith Ellison. Famous picture of him holding up the Antifa handbook. But I think that's maybe why he went from third degree to second degree. I want everyone, there is a chance. There is a chance that this whole thing is going to completely blow up the narrative of, oh, here's a bunch of, and the narrative of like just white cops cruising around looking for black people to kill. That was like the mod squad out there with like you had the Asian dude lookout. You had the bad white cop. I guess there was an African-American cop. It's just, I think that there's going to be, it will come to light. These guys knew each other. There's something else going on there. So this isn't a case of just a cop just randomly going, hey, there's a black guy. Let's kill him.
Yeah, my concern is that he's been overcharged and it's deliberate.
I tell you, that's something else interesting to think about. Let's charge him with something that we know we can't prove, and then he's going to get off and not go to jail, and well, then you have riots part two.
Yeah, well, it doesn't even have to be that, right? So, second-degree murders, I understand it, in Minneapolis requires intent. So, I don't know how you prove intent in that moment. I really don't. So in other words, he didn't just intend to be a jackass, because he clearly is. Okay, he intended to kill him. I don't know how you prove that. So number one, so he'll both charges will be there. So it'll be second degree and third degree. So if you do both charges, the jury can convict on one and not the other because they're different counts, right? But now that you set the expectation, I think it's going to be very difficult to not have the higher charge be what he's convicted of without having a serious problem. So even if he gets convicted of third degree, I'm thinking you're still going to see riots.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll see how the media decides to take a look at it. I think the DA probably knows some stuff that we don't know, because there's a lot of stuff that's like not out there in the press that you don't hear talking about. Like the woman, the cop's ex-wife, she filed for divorce, like boom, she was on it. Just, I want out. She doesn't want his last name anymore. She wants to change her name. Blah, 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 blah. I didn't know George Floyd had done porn. That was a new one.
What?
That was a new, yes.
Hey, hadn't heard that. Really didn't need to know.
Well, hi.
Thanks, Michael.
If you, a buddy of mine told me about this the other night, and I'm like, no way, no way. And then, yup, sure enough, he dabbled. So there's a lot, right? He didn't do a bunch of films, just a couple. So this is all, oh my gosh, it goes so fast. We got to talk about coming up in the next block, we'll talk about the more media hypocrisy with the whole coronavirus, and if you go outside, you'll kill grandma. I want to make sure we say this before we go any further. Trump was on it, you guys. Never forget that. Not only is he left to clean up the mess that arguably was made by Joe Biden, but like the FBI was unleashed immediately to investigate this. The Department of Justice immediately was set loose to investigate this. That's progress. That's progress to me. Listen, we're all for, and I'm saying this out loud because it needs to be said and blah, blah, blah. And it seems so trite, but like nobody wants to witness a murder in the street with a cop on somebody's neck. I'm all for, hey, let's not do the knee on the neck thing anymore. I'm all in favor of that. Mm-hmm. And I've seen video. Somebody sent me a meme today, because it's like it becomes tit for tat. And I've seen the video of the cops killing the white guy, which is heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. Have you seen that one?
I've seen a part of it. I just, to me,
it's horrible.
To me, murder porn is just not my thing.
Yes. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. And this is the little tease. We're going to have so much fun this show. It's going to be such a great time. We're going to talk about art. We're both big fans. Big Billy Barr. I saw him go toe to toe with Watch's Chick on CBS, and just Big Billy Barr is fantastic. We're going to talk about the church and Trump going over to visit the church. We're going to be talking about the coronavirus. We're going to talk about systematic change and just the news and the media being a total joke. A total joke being told to America. And now new media is coming in, and we're coming up fast. Stick around.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
We're back. Thanks for hanging out. I can't. Maybe it's all the coffee I've had. Maybe it's my my insanely healthy diet now. Maybe. I don't know what it is. But I am fiercely optimistic about this whole thing. I love it when, like, big truths are revealed and it's happening before our very eyes. So we're just going to have some fun here. We're just going to have some fun. Because it's hilarious to watch. It's so desperate to watch, and it's so fun to correct people, especially. And you have to be careful on the Facebook. You got to be careful on the Facebook, you guys. Things are going great. Trump is doing a hell of a job. The job numbers were fantastic, and I just want to take a moment. The media is so desperate to make the president look bad. That's what I think this. That's what I believe this whole thing is about. Ultimately, it's just another just wave of BS to try to get Trump out of office and make sure he's not reelected. That whole thing, and I know you and I were texting back and forth on the night that it happened. When the peaceful protest, I'm being sarcastic, mm-hmm. got to that church across from the White House, mm-hmm. that historic church, and then that thing was, the reports were, it was on fire. Thank goodness the fire was only in the basement. Thank goodness the people in D.C. got it put out quickly. But to me, that was a game changer. That was a game changer. It's so weird. Like the things that set you off and you mentally turn corners. Like after that, like, you smashed down, you smashed the windows at the Gap. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You stole a bunch of stuff from the Vans footwear store. Okay. Okay. Those things, when it's a big company, they're gonna reopen. They can, but when it's a historic church, When it's an historic church and you're just out of hand, that's where I was like, thank goodness I'm not president. Thank goodness I'm not president, because I would have had, it would have been release the hounds. I would have gone off. I know you were upset.
I was just upset at the whole thing. I mean, when you look at what happened during the protests last Sunday outside of the White House, 50 Secret Service agents were hurt. A total of 114 law enforcement officers were hurt in front of our White House.
Yeah.
22 ended up in the hospital with severe head injuries.
Yes, the numbers are horrifying.
The numbers are horrifying. We haven't had that number of law enforcement hurt in a single incident ever. So then you listen to Billy Barr's press conference with the heads of the FBI, the ATF, the DEA. The ATF, when she spoke on Thursday, was investigating something like 840 fires and 72 explosive incidents.
Yes. And it's like, and the media is still running with this narrative of, my goodness, the President Trump would actually use chemical agents on his own people for a photo op.
That's not what happened.
Exactly. And then, I'm horrified. He's standing in front of this church holding a Bible. And then you've got Bill Clinton doing the exact same thing. And he hadn't just defended the church. And to believe that, like, and I guess people want to believe this. They want to believe, or I guess the media hopes they want to believe, that Trump was just sitting back for no reason whatsoever. For no reason whatsoever. And was like, you know what? Get out there. Just get out there and just shoot some people with some rubber bullets. Just tear gas those people. I want to go over. It's just, it is beyond.
It's beyond parody.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, then you listen to Bill Barr very clearly say, I am coordinating the securing of federal property after what happened Sunday night and the number of officers that were injured. We decided we needed to move the perimeter back a block to secure the White House grounds. That was my call in the morning. He said, I didn't even know the president was going to go over to the church. But you know what? If the president wants to walk out his front door, he has every right to do so.
Yes.
Phil was pissed.
He's doing a very good job. And it's very simple. I don't know why these politicians pretend to shuck and jive. It's pretty binary. And I'm telling you, man, maybe this is just the way I view the world, but like when you're a peaceful protester, you're a peaceful protester. Okay. We're going to give you that. And a line of police is marching down the street, systematically marching down the street, and they're telling you to move. And then you don't move. Okay. You choose to stand your ground. What do you think is going to happen?
They're going to move you.
Yes. Yes. And these people who are like,
At that moment, you stopped being a peaceful protester.
Yes. You have crossed
the line. When you made the decision not to follow the instructions of the people who are there to secure your safety as well as the safety of the citizenry, that's when you cease to be a peaceful protester. Cops move people at stuff like this all the time. They set a perimeter because they may need emergency vehicles to come through. They may need this. They may need that. They do it for everyone's safety. If you can't comply, you're not peaceful. Period.
Period. End of story. Next sentence. So here's the other wonderful thing that's coming out of this. There's so much wonderful. This should be a supersized episode. But let's just take a moment, Gimlet. Let's just take a moment and celebrate the Second Amendment. You know, when you're on this side of the fence, you spend a lot of time and energy defending the Second Amendment because there's bad things that happen in this world. And you have to constantly remind people, hey, there's good guys with guns. And those stories never get attention, but it's a constant battle. That ship has sailed. I freed up so much time. No longer having to worry about defending the Second Amendment. Like, no. I'm going to start another hobby. I'm spending more time on the guitar. My jerk off skills are through the roof.
I don't ever want to hear again about what kind of gun I can own.
Exactly.
Or how many bullets I can put in it.
Isn't that a wonderful feeling?
Like, you just, well, because now you have people on the far left saying we need to arm up. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Get in line.
Well, if you want to defund the police, you damn well better, because that's not going to go well.
Oh, and that is the next part. Now, this is like, I have just pure joy on the whole Second Amendment thing. That's just, and to think, you guys, and this bears repeating, Joe Biden had said to Beto O'Rourke recently, I'm going to put you in charge. Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah, nope.
So no, there's another strike against Joe. So
not now we happening. Get to the part.
So now we get to the part that that is a little dicey. This is a little dicey, and it has me concerned. I did a video about this titled Don't Defund the Police. I just hit the nail right on the head. Don't defund the police. This is going to get bad. Now, I'm getting more firearms. I want more for my personal safety and for the safety of my family and all that good stuff.
Well, you got to get them out of that city with that moronic mayor.
Well, this is the big point. De Blasio this morning, as I like to do, I like to start my Sunday mornings with some coffee and a little bit of I miss the ads for the Broadway shows. I really do. Those were fun. De Blasio came on press conference talking about the hardcore action that he was taking against cops. Oh, this cop! I'm not even kidding you. Some police officer in the riot unit pulled someone's mask down. Might have pepper sprayed him too. A cop's been put on suspension. Blah 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 blah. Oh, he's going to drop the hammer. De Blasio is on all these instances of supposed unproven. I don't know. Maybe he's got them on film. Maybe he has them on film. This is going to decimate the police department. This is going to decimate. What kind of person, if you have. I'm sorry. I have like three different lead ins to this. My brain is working too fast. I saw a report last night.
Coffee.
Yeah. And then I'm going to hit a Red Bull here in a second. I saw a guy on Fox News last night. I think he's a former chief of police here in New York, saying that by his estimates, now granted, he might be blowing these numbers up to make more of a point. He was saying, 600 police who have already started the paperwork. They've started the process to get out. 600 cops in New York who are like, you know what? It's not worth it anymore. It's not worth it anymore. I can't function. It's too dangerous. If I get in trouble, I'll go to jail. That's a death sentence. If you're an ex-cop and you go to prison, we all know it doesn't go well. So it's not worth it. Risk reward. So 600. Let's say he's overestimated by, I don't know, 200. So 400 cops gone. And then in Buffalo the other day,
a bunch of them resigned.
57 of them. 57 of them. Because that's another case of here come the police. And that old man decided, you know what? I'm going to stand my ground. Well, buddy, I feel bad for you. I really do. However, you made a choice. So we need the police. And this is another one of these great truths that is going to come out of this. And I have to look at this optimistically. You're going to realize just how badly you need the police. They were already stretched thin. And people who bitch and moan about, oh, it's like the military. They're buying all this military stuff. You know why they're buying all that military stuff? Because they have to make up for the lack of personnel. And this is a great thing, I think, to discuss. This goes all the way to the Army. The people in the Army, they carry so much gear. They have so much gear. They go, each one of our soldier is like 5 enemy combatants. I don't think so. Not when you're weighed down with all that gear. There's got to be a better way. And so the police force has been militarized because they don't have enough cops. And now we're going to have even less cops. And I'm hoping it doesn't affect me. But that's the next great awakening
Okay, so 400 cops are leaving New York. They're going to come to little towns like mine and become chief of police.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. So we're going to be fine. It's going to be large cities that have a real policing problem.
And that is the next. Oh my gosh, I love it. I love it. I love it. It's falling into place. I wrote a wonderful piece. I'm starting to like it more and more, you guys. I really like doing a lot of the stuff that I put on LoftusParty.com. It's like, oh, here's an interesting article from here. Here's a snippet there. You know, and it's fun, and it's all over the board, and it's news, and it's science fiction, and it's all that stuff. But I wrote a thing, and it was funny to watch people on Facebook take it the wrong way, where I'm proposing, and I've given it a lot of thought, we got to give up on these cities. There's certain cities we have to give up on, where they're talking about, like, in L.A., we are going to defund the police department. We are going to defund the – we're going to make them like $250 million or $150 million. We're going
to
make
Did
these budget
cuts.
Did you
see the video of the police responding to that?
That was great.
That was epic.
Yes. And so I wrote this article, and I was very specific. I'm like, okay, so Minneapolis – and this was like right out of Game of Thrones. Minneapolis, they're talking about they need to dismantle the police. Dismantle. And there was a Black Lives Matter protest, and the mayor was there, and they're like, give us a yes or no answer. Give us a yes or no answer. Are you going to defund the police? Are you going to defund the police? And he starts to, you know, trying to spin his way out of it. And ultimately, he settled on, I'm not. I'm not going to dismantle the police. He used, like, whatever. And they did the whole shame. I don't know if you ever saw Game of Thrones, but at one point, they're walking the queen through the streets naked, and everyone in town is just chanting, shame. And this dude, this super liberal, hug it out, soy boy, spineless little twerp who's done everything.
Our Justin Trudeau.
Yes, baby Justin. He did shame. So I'm saying to these people, let's give up on New York. Like, if New York, if they can't police, if they can't ensure your safety, you got to get out. Get out. Move. New York, L.A., Minneapolis, and any other city, and people. And the title of the thing is, like, it's time to give up on cities. And boy, I tell you what, the people who they didn't even read the article. I mean, it got a lot of shares, but people are like, don't come to my town. Don't come to my town. Don't come here. And some guy responded.
What do you mean?
Some guy responded, don't come to my town with your liberal BS. And I'm like, have you ever? Are you
new? Ever
listened
to anything I've said?
Are you new? And then I started writing back to these people. You might want to read the article. But that's where it's coming. And I want it to happen fast.
Well, no,
I want it to happen now.
You think about this, right?
Yes.
Between cities being hit hard in the pandemic, right? And now cities being burned with liberal mayors who don't let the police do their job, right?
Yes.
What do you think is going to happen? Like, those two things together, you are going to have cities empty out of everyone who can leave.
Yup. I can get an apartment.
And Cuomo.
Oh, man.
Oh my man. God. Huh?
I just want to say this before we move on to Cuomo. Ladies and gentlemen, fine, noble and gentle listeners of this show, this won't affect us all. Like, I live in Los Angeles. I'm in New York. I'm in Los Angeles. I'm very fortunate that way. Knock on wood. We have private security all over LA. The people, like the police department was already so thin. You think that there's private security in Bel Air? They just hire a bunch of ex-cops or cops moonlight, and they go, "Hey, here's your job. You just circle these four blocks. The whole neighborhood's going to chip in and pay for it." And they have 24-hour armed security. Bel Air, Beverly Hills, Malibu, Encino, all these other middle class to upper class neighborhoods, they're going to be fine. And this is the wonderful, wonderful notion that, okay, these Democrats, okay, let's defund the police. Let's do it. The inner cities that were not thriving, well, they were doing better in the past 3 years. Yeah, they were doing better. Just got crushed.
I mean, like Walmart's not going back to Chicago.
And I celebrate that. Now, there will be.
I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either. The upside to all this, seriously, I was thinking about this as I was writing the article. I didn't include it. But if you have big companies like, Target should probably, if I was Target, I would stay out of certain neighborhoods, McDonald's, Burger King. There's a bunch of franchises that I would encourage.
I'm not going to rebuild my stuff there.
Exactly. So hopefully some small enterprising young person will start a business. And hopefully they can protect it and do well, because there will be a vacuum. There will be a vacuum. If you can't easily get to a hardware store, if you can't easily get to Lowe's and you need a bag of nails, hopefully some kid on your street will open up a hardware store. And so that's good for small business. So it's a win-win-win, in my opinion. But you wanted to talk about Cuomo, and so do I. De Blasio, total failure. Cuomo, the media is letting him skate. The media is letting that dude skate. That dude is he should be in jail, in my opinion.
Well, he had the nerve to fly down to Washington, D.C. to meet with the president of the United States of America to talk to him about a bunch of federally funded infrastructure projects to restart New York City's economy. You know what I say to Governor Cuomo? The only economy I'm interested in energizing is Georgia's. I will be damned if you are going to take my tax dollars and build shit in New York City.
Yeah.
No. You were broke before this started. You're broker now. It's all based on decisions you and that idiot mayor made. Live with it.
We're gonna take a little break in a second here, but like during the press conference, Cuomo was like talking about he's gonna get all this money, gotta get all this money from the federal government because they got these jobs, they got these tunnels that they want to dig, and they're gonna expand the subways. And he goes, these are more than shovel ready. He goes, I got the shovel in my car, and I'm thinking, I bet you do. It was the most mafia thing I'd ever heard. It was like right out of The Sopranos. I got a shovel in the back of my car. And I'm like, I bet you do. I bet you do. Digging graves for the old people that you killed. Okay. We're going to take a break and we're going to come right back. We got Elmer Fudd news. We got Candace Owens news. We're going to rail on Cuomo some more. It's just so much.
And De Blasio.
And De Blasio. That too. Stick around.
This is Joanne Jenkins, CEO of AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, and we are here actively supporting you and your community. Every day, we're providing trusted information from top health experts, sharing tools to help protect families from fraud, and creating resources to support family caregivers everywhere. As always, you can count on AARP to advocate for you and your family. Join us and stay connected at aarp.org/coronavirus.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast.
single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
We're back, and we're not done with de Blasio. Stick around. We're having so much fun. And this is like just the, now we're in the fun zone, rant zone, all kinds of good things happening. I just want to remind everybody, thanks for sharing. If you're listening to this podcast, I know we're moving in the right direction. Comments really help. Reviews really help. Leave us some stars. Ding, 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 ding. Everything's going wonderful. We love you. We celebrate you. Let's get into a little bit of de Blasio. Let's get a little bit. Is he still on the pathway of like you can go out and protest but don't go to church? Is he still doing that?
My God, he had cops cruising around in Williamsburg making sure Jewish people didn't go to Wednesday night prayers. He had cops up in Williamsburg kicking Jewish mothers and their children out of the park while things burned downtown. Like while they were ripping off the Nike store. That's how he decided to use his police resources.
And he's like, the National Guard has no place here in New York City. Just an epic fail. Like, why would you still listen when you have to know? Like, he's not stupid. I mean,
no, he is. It's close between him and Eric Garcetti, but they're two of the dumbest men in the nation.
Somehow they got elected to these offices, but to sit there and you're like, okay, how am I going to deploy my forces tonight? We got looters coming in. They're setting fires. Hey, make sure we send some cops over to the temple, Beth Shalom. Make sure,
goes in there and prays. That would be terrible.
Right. Don't you think you could free up some officers from that, from the houses of worship to like maybe put out the fire at the Gap? I mean, well,
and then I'm sitting there and I run across this interview with a group I had totally forgotten about. Because when I was a kid, my dad worked for the Metropolitan Transit Authority, but we weren't allowed to live in the city because it was pre-Giuliani.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we lived upstate, but we would come down and go to a show and see the sights and that kind of thing. And I remember when we went to the Bronx Zoo, because at that point, the Bronx looked like a war zone.
Mm-hmm.
There were these guys with red berets. They're called the Guardian Angels. They are unarmed patrol that will literally whoop your ass.
Yes.
Okay. And one of them was being interviewed. He's downtown with five guys holding, what was it, a Foot Locker. Not going to let chase 30 guys out of a Foot Locker, right? These six guys.
Yeah.
We're coming back. They come back with 100 people. They go fist to fist with them. They say, we're coming back. One of their guys got hurt. So now one went to the hospital with them. So now they're down to four and like 300 people come back. And
wow.
He just looks at his buddies and goes, yeah, we're leaving here in pine boxes, but we're not moving. This is about the principle of the thing. It isn't sneakers. It's the rule of law, period. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the cavalry comes. There were cops on bicycles. There were sirens. There were helicopters, he said. And finally, the cops acted like cops.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
It reached such a level. I love it. It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
And I forgot all about them. They're so freaking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tell you, the whole narrative on the media, I remember back when I was a kid, because I think that dude, he'd like show up in sitcoms from time to time. And I remember him being on Donahue back in the day, the guy that started that whole thing. And just like, do you think you're Batman? And it's like, hey, when people, listen, this is all social contracts, you guys. We have these weird social contracts. Like, we all decide as humanity on the road when you're driving around, you're like, okay, that little dotted line means something. I'm not going to go over that because we're all just going to agree that, you know, those lines are magic and you're not supposed to go over them. And there's a reason for that. And if you cannot we can descend into anarchy fast. And I don't want it to. However, when people get pushed far enough, they start to push back. And when people in these, like in Chicago and in a lot of places in California and now in New York, they're just, it's, you cannot look at this and go, oh, that was a good idea. That was a good idea not to have more police there. That was a good idea not to, like, none of this is good. It's inescapable. And the way, there's so many funny things happening. We got to show some love to Candace Owens, because this is one of the things that I'm trying to do in a weird way. I'm jealous of Candace. I think what she's doing is fantastic, but I want to do more of it at the Loftus party. Right now, we got these t-shirts that we had made, you know, Essential AF, and we're raising money. And then this coming Wednesday, we're going to look at how much money we raised. And I've got some other people saying they're going to do matching funds, and we're going to donate the money to some food banks here in New York and also Los Angeles for people who are just trying to eat. Candace Owens was in some kind of Twitter altercation the other day.
That's
she did
unusual.
That. She did. Well, she did that video. Mm-hmm. That just blew the F up. She's like, and to her credit, I had never heard this line of reasoning either. Some hero of hers, some man of books and letters, had written this thing. She said it stuck with her, and saying the black community is the only community. I hate to even paraphrase it. That they take the lowest person on the totem pole. I'm horribly paraphrasing.
Elevate them to martyrs. Status, yes.
Yeah, so she's like, I'm not gonna martyr George Floyd. I'm not gonna do it. And then she starts, in typical Candace Owens fashion, talking about statistics. And if you really want to make a difference, then you would do this and you would do that and look at this and look at that. And it was a great video, very, very powerful stuff. And obviously, a lot of people shared that video. Like, I think it's up to 100 million now, I want to say. So I guess there was a restaurateur, a small business owner. And I don't know if he's white or black or brown or yellow or purple or whatever. In a private text, he said to someone else that he agreed with Candace Owens. Someone sees this text and they decide it's their civic duty to out him. And they're calling for people to boycott the store. Candace Owens caught wind of this. And she's like, thank you so much. I am immediately starting a GoFundMe. I checked it last night, and I almost tweeted about it, but I don't want to stop it. I feel confident talking about it now. Gimlet, she was asking for $100,000 to get this, to help this dude out. When I checked it last night at like 11 o'clock on the East Coast, it was up to almost $200,000. Just like, it was so great. It was so great. And it was just a wonderful casualness that, like, Candace Owens, like, thank you. I'm going to start a GoFundMe. Bing, bang, boom. And it just made me so happy. It just made me so happy. But, like, I didn't want people to stop donating, right? So I made my little donation. And I'm like, I'm not going to tweet about it. But it was great, and I hope that dude is doing well, and I hope it's enough dough. The other thing that I find, there's a wonderful picture going around, and I hope it's real, of Kendall Jenner, and it appears as though it was on her Facebook page or her Instagram. She's at a gas station, and she's, you know, holding up a sign that says Black Lives Matter. And in the shadow, you can see that there was no sign. There is no shadow of the sign. Mm-hmm. And like they put the Black Lives Matter in post. They put it in after, which I really want her to have posted that. Cause to me, that's the ultimate like symbol of, I want you guys to believe this, but the reality is much different. To me, it was like the perfect, it encapsulates the entire thing perfectly.
Do you hear Van Jones?
No. What did Van Jones say?
He said that as far as he was concerned, black men in America are at more risk for dumb female Hillary Clinton supporters who, like that girl in the park, who the minute she's confronted with someone of another race goes right to racism, than by any Trump supporter.
Yeah. Yeah. And you
I'm
know
like,
and it's,
okay, I don't want to put people in buckets like that, but just him calling out the fact that just because you are virtue signaling, I mean, we all remember Hillary Clinton called young black people super predators.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, all this virtue signaling, he don't believe it, and it's good to hear somebody call it out. Like, did you post the black square on your Instagram? No, and I'm not going to.
Yeah.
That's what we call slacktivism. It doesn't mean anything.
Absolutely. You
know what actually means something? Me finishing my application to be a foster child advocate. That actually means something.
And that's the thing where there is no virtue signaling in that. Where when you just continually, quietly go on with your life. And this is what I love about being on this side of so many political issues is that I honestly think we make better decisions in the long term our solutions are better. Is it a better idea to legislate this and legislate that and make a law? I mean, murder's against the law, all this stuff, everything's already against the law. So at some point it comes down to you know, and the decisions that you make in your personal life. So there's not a lot of virtue signaling and just trying to be a good and honorable person and judge someone by the content of their character. You don't get a lot of accolades. You don't get a lot of awards. However, if we all do that as individuals, then society gets better. And that's what I like about leaning to the right. I want to talk about that the tape that you referenced with the woman in the park with the dog and just the way she was. I tell you what, you know, you can tell a lot about people how they treat their dog. I was watching a YouTube video with Kevin Hart. I think Kevin Hart's hilarious. I think Kevin Hart is hilarious. And he was talking about it. He's like, you know, this whole Black Lives Matter thing. He goes, it's about George Floyd, but it's also about that woman in the park. It's about that woman in the park. And he said a couple of things that I would love to discuss with him. Because as to the George Floyd thing, he goes, it seems like it happens every day. It seems like, and I'm like, let's underline that. Let's underline seems. It seems like it happens every day. That's the narrative. It seems like it happens every day. It happened 9 times. It happened 9 times. That's it. That's very far from every day. Now let's talk about the woman in the park and the wonderful thing about that. Okay, so the mask is off that lady. She's a horrible person, and she is going to use race to try to get someone in trouble. A guy who was out there bird watching. Here is the good part that no one else is talking about. That man who asked her to put her dog on a leash. The dog should have been on a leash. He was correct. He was absolutely correct. That horrible woman tried to use race as a weapon. And what was his reaction in the year of our Lord 2020? He's like, call them. Call them. And so she did, and they came, and he had it on his phone, and she got in trouble, and they took the frickin' dog away. That's progress. That's progress. In 1952, if that would have happened, yeah, my man better run. My man better get out of there. If some woman in 1952 goes, I'm gonna call the cops and tell them a black man is blah blah blah. He better get the heck out of there. Even if he has witnesses, he better get the heck out of here. But we have phones now, and we have a better justice system now. We have made so many improvements. She's like, I'm going to call the police and tell them that a black man's harassing. And he stood his ground and said, call him, call him. That to me is a phenomenal moment that needs to be celebrated. She got in trouble. He didn't. That's wonderful. That's progress, you guys. I love that moment. But people are going to keep going on. They're going to keep virtue signaling. They're going to keep saying that they've got the real solutions. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. Joe Biden and his ilk got us here. The Democrats got us here. And
starting
Trump
with LBJ.
Oh, that's a, I'm not even going to look up that LBJ quote. If you're like, what are they talking about? What are they talking about? LBJ's got a phenomenal quote about how he's going to get certain people to vote for him for what, the next 500 years?
Yeah. Something like that.
Horrifying. Horrifying. I got to take a moment about Elmer Fudd. I guess they're doing some kind of Looney Tunes reboot. They're doing some
this
kind
is
of Looney
so dumb.
And they're going to take the gun away from Elmer Fudd. And
he's
there's
a hunter.
It is now time to make Listen, I want to bring cartoons back. I want to do. There's so much that I want to do with the Loftus Party. But I seriously envision a day. Because I love these cartoons. You know when I did the History Channel show? I had one segment that was Hitler. Hitler was chasing Jesse Owens. And it was a spin on the Warner Brothers cartoon. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Now, the animation probably could have been better. We were on a budget. But when Warner Brothers does something so stupid, and it is pointless, it's 100% virtue signaling, and well, they've got us talking about it for a little bit, I now want a cartoon to make fun of them. They are now part of the thing they used to make fun of. When Bugs Bunny would go make fun of the people who went to the opera, we now need someone who goes to Warner Brothers to make fun of them. That would be the ultimate. And Mel Blanc would be laughing as and Friz Freleng and Carl Stalling and Chuck Jones. They would be right behind us. You need to make fun of it. You now think you're powerful. Now we need to mock you because Donald Trump is Bugs Bunny. And I say that with love. I say that with love. But he is the modern equivalent of Bugs Bunny. Like super patriot, New York accent. Never gets
beard
beat.
Hair.
Yes, he's fantastic. When you look at all the slings and arrows and all the stuff, and there's like, there's no way. Like when when the left, they are Elmer Fudd. They are Elmer Fudd. And they will. Duck
and now
season,
they don't have a gun.
Season. And
they're all out of bullets. Dude, my favorite. I just
ahead.
Need to mention my favorite thing this week. The slap fights are starting.
Slap fights.
So Rod Rosenstein testified, and he and Andy McCabe are already going at it.
Oh, that's the best tease. Tease for next week's show. Because as all this wonderful, as America's skin starts to clear up, as these giant pimples start popping, the media pimple and the fake narrative pimple and all this other wonderful stuff, and why are we here? And it's inescapable. It's inescapable now. You have to ask that question, and I love it. Why are we here? How do we make it better? That happens. And then, the whole Rosenstein thing, the whole FISA abuse thing, the whole James Comey thing. Don't think that Gimlet and I aren't tracking that one. Don't think we're not going to have a fantastic show for you next week, because that's the next one to go. That's the next one to go. And that's going to be even better and better and better. And that's why I'm so flippin' optimistic. And the whole COVID-19 thing, they can't tell us not to gather in masses now when they're all
being
good.
They're still trying.
They're going to try to bring
that back
up. Did you
see that public health expert letter? This is the other beautiful thing. The experts are done. Between COVID-19, like, we don't have to listen to the climate experts anymore. We don't have to listen to the foreign policy experts anymore. We don't have to listen to the public health. They literally wrote, It's okay to protest for Black Lives Matter, but hey, you white people with guns, don't you protest your stay-at-home orders. It was the most racist piece of trash I've ever seen in my life. And you get to the bottom, and it says, for allies, which, as you all know, is SJW code for white people.
Yes.
If you want to help the white if you want to help the protesters, white people, basically, come, bring snacks and water and equipment and bail money, and then shut up.
It's wonderful. We've been.
I'm like reading this thing, going, oh my God.
It's wonderful. And then we'll say this before we sign off. Like when, and they found out now that study into hydroxychloroquine or whatever that The Lancet had published was just nothing but politically motivated garbage science. The politics of that.
Maybe we're sicker than they needed to be because of that.
I smell a lawsuit. I smell a lawsuit. How many people passed away because the government said, no, you can't use this medication. And they quoted this thing. That's a lawsuit. That'll be on Fox News. Were you injured by COVID-19? Did your physician tell you you were not allowed to take hydroxychloroquine? You may be owed money. I guarantee it's coming.
Oh.
So we don't have to worry about the whole COVID-19 thing. We don't have to worry about defending the Second Amendment. We're going to have a great...
The experts are done.
Right? We're going to have a great conversation about race relations and how to make things better. We're going to have a wonderful discussion about what kind of law enforcement our cities need and how we can do
and
better
federal.
There. Yes. And we're going to have we're about to have a wonderful conversation about FISA abuse and unelected officials who are trying to change the outcome of elections. You guys, it is coming up roses. These are exciting times to be alive. There might be some more weird stuff on the horizon. Well, hopefully, let's keep it interesting, but so much good comes out of it. If we keep pushing, so much good can come out of this. I'm so optimistic. Well,
and
I'd like to thank them
for creating a bunch of new Trump voters too.
We gotta continue that along. Next week we'll get into some of the numbers from some of these primaries. I'm a little optimistic. I'm a little concerned, but we have to be optimistic, you people, because it is the time for optimism, and that's gonna save the day. That's going to make a better world, a better country, a better state, a better city, a better you. And there's hope for tomorrow, and there's hope for our children. Tune into the live stream on Wednesday. We got new videos on YouTube on Mondays and Fridays. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's, oh my God, well, that's a whole other discussion. But things are going well. We're going to give some money to food banks on Wednesday. We're making the change right there. It's happening in your shoes. It tingles from your toes and it goes up to your nose. We're optimistic. We'll see you guys next time.